Okay, today's daf is Shabbos, daf Mem Gimel. Scheduling note, the daf is not up from tomorrow, from 7.5 years ago. So, Beis Hashem, I hope to give it sometime later today. So, hopefully, both will be up. And, Beis Hashem, the next day, though, Shabbos will be. So, it's on yutorah.org. Feel free to listen to daf Mem Hey, that's there. And then, Beis Hashem, we'll be back Mem Vav. So, Beis Hashem, Mem Dalet will, Beis Hashem, be up some point today. Okay, we are on Mem Beis Mabeis. We started the sugyas of Muksa. As was discussed, the Mishnah spoke about putting a kli under a candle to catch the oil. One is not allowed to do that. Rashi quoted two different opinions, which we'll get back to. And if you put it there on Friday, it's okay. But we're focusing now on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda had said that even though a person is not allowed to take a kli to catch the egg on Shabbos, but one is allowed to cover the egg with that bowl as long as it does not break. We mentioned, as we ran through yesterday, I wanted to say who it was. The Yerushalmi here adds that you're not allowed to, you have to make sure that the egg does not touch the cover. When you put the cover on, make sure it's not touching the egg. So why is that? Is that just a chshash of moving it, right? Or is it something deeper than that? The Rambam and the Ravid, I forgot to mention, they also argue about this. The Rambam just quotes our Gemara, and the Ravid quotes the Yerushalmi. He says, why did the Rambam forget this? Levasha lo yiga. Why doesn't he quote this? And the Migdal Oz says something that will come up on tomorrow's daf on the bottom of the Rambam. No, you're not touching it directly. It's called tiltul min hatzad. So that's why the Rambam doesn't mention it, because he's not worried about that in this case. But the Shulchan Aruch just quotes the language of the Gemara with the Yerushalmi, that you have to make sure not to touch it. And he seems to be quoting the Trumas Hadeshah. If that's true, so that's where we get it from, that he holds that if it's l'sorach davar hamukso, so you're not allowed to touch it. Again, generally we assume, like we said, touching muksa is not a problem on Shabbos. I'm allowed to go to a car and just put my finger on it and touch it, as long as I don't move it. The issue is moving muksa. But the Shulchan Aruch, if he's posking like the Trumas Hadeshah, is holding, if he's quoting the Trumas Hadeshah, which is not 100% clear, but if he is, so then he would be holding that that's only mutter if I'm doing it l'tzorech my own needs. But if I'm touching the muksa l'tzorech davar hamuksa for the needs of that muksa item, so then that would be usur. The Trumas Hadeshah discusses in Simin Samach Zayin, Sakin Sheish Bahem Maos, Munachem Ateva. You have a bag full of money that's in a box. Shari Lahaniach Alehem Chaguros. Let's say you have a drawer, and you have some muksa stuff in your drawer. Let's say in your night table. And you have some muksa stuff. You open the drawer, and there's some muksa stuff. Are you allowed to put non-muksa items on top of it? Let's say I want to take it, I don't know, a thing of tissues, whatever it is, I'm putting it in my drawer. Am I allowed to put it on top? That's what he's talking about. Putting belts on top of bags of money. Says the Shumas Hadeshah, Nireh Deshari. I think it's mutter in that case. Because there's no issue about touching muksa. Tachi muchach, he quotes a Gemara in Erevin. Ukeinza matzasi shetik echon mehagdolim. He quotes, Mishum Ram, demutu liga bima'amad shelefnei Aron HaKodesh. Afilu bishas shaneiruz dokos alav. They had some type of candelabra that was in front of the Aron, so there's no problem with holding it. Or touching it on Shabbos. Afal pishu tashmish muksa. Ain also liga b'muksa rakshalo yitaltel. Because, maker adin, there's no isra of touching muksa. But only just to move it. So let's say if there is an electric menorah that somebody has to touch to be able to walk up, let's say, to the steps of the Aron. Whatever it is, no problem, as long as it's touch. Ulafizeh, according to this though, what do we do with the Yerushalmi? And he quotes our Yerushalmi, Kadesh Shalot, right, not to, have to make sure that the cover does not touch the egg. And why is it? V'dochek lomar. And he says, it's dochek to say the only issue is chshash hazaza. Kiva de beitza davar hamizgalgelu, since an egg is rolls, imukli nogea ba iefshash lo yizenimim koma. I'd rather not say it. It doesn't sound that way from the Yerushalmi, that it's just an issue of I might come to move it. So that's where he says his yesod. Elanir lechalik, dahasam, over there, it meaning in our case, by putting the cover on the egg, you know I have to make sure that the cover doesn't touch the egg? Kiva dahanachasa kliala beitza, hilutzorecha beitza, dahavi davar hamuksa, wakach aser ligabo. To do something with shame, the muksa, I want to protect my muksa item. So then I'm not allowed to touch the muksa item. Right? Let's say I have a dvar muksa that's, let's say I left something expensive that's muksa outside in the backyard, on the backyard table. Right? So then I want to cover it because I want to make sure people don't see it. So I have to make sure not to touch that. Make sure not to touch that because that then I would, that would be usur. I'll be included in this in the Rabbanan of Muksa. Ava b'nidon didon. But in most other cases, well, you're not touching something l'shem Muksa. I'm touching for my own needs, and I have to be touching the Muksa for my own needs. I don't know, I want to tie my shoe. So I put my pick on my foot, I put it on a dvar muksa. So that's okay, as long as I don't move the muksa. Because there it's lutzarech me. It's not lutzarech the davar hamuksa. Oh, but either the don, v'chein hanu, demaisi, raya, minayu, kulu, ha-hanocha, v'atashvish, eino elo lutzarech davar she'eino muksa. V'lakach afilu inoga al yidei hanocha, b'muksa, shari. Right, that's the chiluk of the Shulman Sadeshen, and that's where, what I mentioned at the end of the year yesterday, if the Shulchan Aruch is, quote, paskin, like the Shulman Sadeshen, that's where we have the chiluk halacha l'maisa. In terms of negiyas muksa, usually only moving muksa is aser, but here we have an example of even touching muksa is aser if the touching is for the dvar muksa. Okay.
If you have something in a drawer, is pulling out the drawer considered?
So if you have something in a drawer, is there pulling out the drawer a problem? So, does the drawer have other mutter items in it?
So if it does,
then you could say that your focus is on the mutter items. It's called a basis l'davar ha'asr l'davar ha'mutter. Meaning, the drawer itself is not muksa because it's a basis for mutter items too. Okay. Number two, you're not moving the muksa directly. It's what's called a minatzad. Indirectly, and therefore it's okay. Muksa was only asr with direct movement. There are two, we're going to get to this probably tomorrow, but Hashem, in terms of different types of tiltum minatzad. There's tiltum minatzad moving with my elbow. And the tiltum atzad, if I left my shaver on my bed, and I get into bed, and it falls off as I get into bed. That's that's even more distant, tiltum atzad. But there are different levels that the poskim talk about. Many muxes could be moved tiltum atzad. A few muxes are so chamur that we're machmer even, you know, certain tiltum atzads, like the elbow case. If there's a chesser and kiss and others, which Beis Hashem will get to at a certain point. Okay, so yesterday we had the dinner of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says you can't catch the egg, but you can put the bowl over the egg. Rabba said why, so we're going to have a machlokas. In the later Amorim, what's the reason for Rav Chisda? So number one, Rabba says, because the issue is that, according to Rashi, this is Rashi Pshat of the Gemara, this Gemara is going like Rebbe Yitzchak, that ain't kli nitel el tzarach davar hanitel. You're not allowed to move muksa, you're not allowed to move non-muksa items for the sake of a muksa item. So therefore, what are you allowed to do here? So that's why Rabba says, the explanation of Rav Chisda is that the Chazal only allowed you to, quote-unquote, violate this din for a hatsala mitsuya, for a very common occurrence. So then they didn't institute their laws of muksa in this case. So, chickens lay eggs on Shabbos. You want to protect it, so as long as it's in a flat place, that's pretty common. So you have to put it over it. But to catch it because it's on a slope, that's pretty uncommon, so they did not allow you to do this. By the way, Tosfos does not say that this is an issue of Rabbi Yitzchak. Tosfos says this is just an issue of tircha. Chazal didn't want you to do extra tirchas on Shabbos, second to bottom Tosfos, and that's what the issue that's going on here, because Tosfos Bada doesn't even talk about Rabbi Yitzchak in this Gemara yet. So how could we assume that Rab is based on Rabbi Yitzchak? Okay, either way, that is all. Shot number one, Hatsala Mitsuya versus Eda Mitsuya. So is that really the case? Five lines from the bottom. Eisve Abaya, Hatsala She'ena Mitsuya Lo Itiru. If it's an uncommon Hatsala, they did not allow you to move, let's go with Rashi's shot, to move a non-muksa item for a muksa item. Yatanya, we learned, Nishbra Lo Chavish El Tevel Brosh Gago. If a barrel of Tevel broke on your roof, Tevel is Lachor Muksa. We'll talk about this by Hashem today. Why? Because Tevel is untithed produce. You can't nothing to do with it on Shabbos. You can't eat it. So, but what does it say? Maybe Kli Meniach Tachtel. You're allowed to bring a Kli and catch it. What do you mean? Is it so common for your barrel of Tevel to break? Says the Gemara, yes. Begulfi Chadati. We're talking about new barrels. New Rashi Chavios. The Shchichi Debaki. Yeah, the new ones. They were just made. They're not they're not solid yet as old ones are. Older ones the better. A lot of times we know older kelim last longer than newer kelim. Right, so here it's new, so it's a pretty common that they would break. Okay, Esve. Next, Nosten Kli Tachas Aner LaKabel Nitzotzos. You're allowed to put a bowl under a nair to catch sparks that fly out. Right, we spoke about Shemen in the Mishnah, that was us, sir. But here to catch sparks. So again, isn't that pretty uncommon? No, it says Nami Shrichi, that's also pretty common, and therefore it would be okay. Eisvei, next try. Is it Bavata Klimi Echano? The Mishnah is going to say later on, no, because it's not Mamish. There's an Ainbo Mamish. It doesn't stay there. Eisvei. Kofin Ka'ara Al Haner, Bishvil Shalo Yochaz Bekora. If you have a candle, you don't want the roof to catch on fire. So you're allowed to put some type of upside down bowl on it so that it doesn't get the roof on fire. Again, this is not talking about a case where it's so suffocating that you're going to put out the candle. That would be mechabe. Right, you're not doing that, but it's high enough so that it'll let the flame continue, but it'll protect your roof. So again, there, your boards of your roof are muksa, and you're doing something, you're moving something, litzarech, davar hamuksa. So isn't this pretty uncommon? So again, the Gemara says, bebati gechini, it's in short houses, where it's pretty common. Next, if you have a board that broke, and you don't want the whole thing to fall down, the whole structure, you're allowed to bring a bench or an edge of a bed in order to support the broken area. So again, that broken area, the structure of the house, that is muksa. You're moving a non-muksa item. Isn't that pretty uncommon? Again, bikshuri chadati davidi depaki, it's new boards that are commonly broken. Period. One more try. Nosdin kli tachas adlaf b'shabbos. It says that you're allowed to put a kli under a drip in order to catch the drip on Shabbos. Again, isn't that drip muksa? And you're catching it because it wasn't, right, where's it dripping from? It's something that you didn't prepare. But, or to protect, you're protecting wherever you are, wherever you're putting the bowl. So, b'batichadati d'shchicha d'dalfi. Again, no, it's a common drip. It's a new house, which you haven't figured out where all the leaks are from yet. So it's shiach that it's dripping, and therefore in all these cases we just explained, in all these prices, it's a common case. And if it's a common case, so then there's no issue of moving a non-muksa item for a l'shem a muksa item, because chazal were matter that. That is all rabba. The first explanation of Rav Chisda, why you're allowed to put a bowl on top of an egg, but not under the egg. Now we get to number two. Rav Yosef Amar. Rav Yosef, no, totally different pshat. What's the reason for Rav Chisda? The difference between under the egg and on top of the egg? Hainu tamed Rav Chisda. Mishum tekemcham vatel kli mehechano. Like Rashi quoted on the Mishnah. Because you are destroying, you are nullifying the kli from its prepared state. Muchan hechano is the opposite of muksa. Basically, you're making something off limits. Mevatel kli mehechano. Just to review for a minute what we said yesterday and to add on one. And that is, what is the issue of mevatel kli mehechano? What's the issue? So we have Rashi on Amud Beis on yesterday's daf. Rashi said his lashon was to have a koveya lo makom. You are establishing it in a place. Umechabro betit. You're like cementing it in. If I put something that's going to catch a muksa item, mamela, this is going to become muksa now. This is going to become, you know, I'm not going to be able to move this bowl. It's going to have a muksa item in it. So it's off limits to me. So what is that? What's the problem with that? So Rashi says it's like you're cementing it into the ground. What does that sound like? Which malacha? Tosa says, that sounds like bona. Sounds like you're cementing it in. Tosa on top said, that's interesting, because if you look later on in the Masechta, he quotes Rashi Kuf Nun Dalid, where the Gemara there talks about putting a pillow under a place where you think glass is going to break in order to catch the glass, or at least the shards. Rashi there says, if you look all the way at the end of the Masechta, Kuf Nun Dalid, Rashi says, you know what malacha that is? Dome lisoser. It's like you're destroying, right? Rashi kubda dalam base. Two words. So Tosa says, Rashi here says bona, there says soser. So he just points out that distinction. Says the Pnei Yeshua, I'll explain why Rashi does that. Right? If you ever have a problem with Rashi, look at the Pnei Yeshua. Remember the story of the Pnei Yeshua in the Hakdamah to his Sefer? He writes that he was lying under a rubble during a fire. There was a terrible fire in his town, in his house, that Harachmanos and his wife was killed. He lost a couple of children. He's lying under a burning piece of wood, and he makes a nether to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you save me and get me out of here, I'll dedicate the rest of my life to answering Tosas' Kashas and Rashi. And 3 seconds later, he was pulled out from the rubble. Baruch Hashem, that's why we have the Pnei Yeshua. So says the Pnei Yeshua, right here. I'll explain to you why Rashi says two different things. Over here, he says something that sounds like bona, and over there, he says soser. Because what are we talking about? He says, over here, we're talking about a bowl, which is going to catch stuff, but you're still going to be able to use the bowl. You're not destroying the bowl, really. So you're not going to be able to move the bowl, but you'll be able to put things in the bowl, too. Next to the muksa item. You'll be able to put stuff. So you're not ruining its original purpose. So if that's the case, Rashi can't say soser here. not destroying anything because it's still usable for what it was used for beforehand. That's why Rashi says the problem must be bone. Ain kan sira klal in our case. Why? Da ayri hacha bekelim sha'asuyin lekabo bo. V'yemkein hashtanami shemanichan tachas hashemen o tachas tarnagoles adayin ru'uyin heim lekach. T'yafilu ba'oso shabbos atzmon ru'uyin latash mizeh laniach bo shum davar. Masha'ein kein over there, bekarmik sasos, there in that case at the end of the Masechta, when you're putting pillows, delo shayach bu taima de binyin kla. So what does Rashi here say? You're building, you're bona, you're as if you're cementing it in. Over there, you're putting a pillow on the floor, that's cementing something in. De'ein derech binyin bekarmik sasos, ve'ein derech lechabram betid klau. That's what Rashi says, it's an issue of soser, because originally you use pillows to lie down on and to sit on, and now you can't because there's going to be glass pieces on there. So therefore, you don't have the original purpose, that's why it's so sir. So Tanya Shu explains why Rashi, in each of the cases, gives a different reason, an explanation of Mevato Kli Mehe Chano. The Ritva, we mentioned yesterday, has a third shot, that you're being Mema'et in Kavod Shabbos. Being Mema'et in Kavod Shabbos, because you have one less item to use. And that is the issue of Mevato Kli Mehe Chano. The Bir Halacha here, just one other issue, in Reish Samache, here quotes the Gershon quotes the issue about you're not allowed to be mevatel kli mechano. We paskin that you're not allowed to make something muksa on Shabbos on purpose, right? That's this iser. You can't make something muksa. So the Bir Halacha there quotes the Prima Gadim that says even a kli shemalachto leiser, which we mentioned in the past, that's a different type of muksa. Right, all the other types of muksa machmes mius, muksa machmes iser, muksa machmes chesron kis, muksa machmes gufo, those are all muksas, and you basically can't move them. But klisha machmes iser is one of the few exceptions, because maybe it's not really muksa, it's a different type of category. It's like a stapler or a pen, any of those, we pass, and you're allowed to move those, let's rach gufo, let's rach makomo. You're allowed to move that if you need the spot, or you need to use it for a mutter purpose. I want to use this stapler as a napkin, I hold my napkin down, because it's windy outside. Whatever the case is, so I'm allowed to do that. So the big issue, conceptually, is how close is that to real muksa or not? The fact that you're allowed to move things directly in this category, so does that show me that it's really not muksa, or it's muksa with a couple of a heterim? How close do we put that with the other categories? That's a big question in Lumdus. So this halachic issue is connected to that. The Kasav Prima Gadim quotes the Bir Halacha. The afilu klisha malachto le'iser. Even a klisha malachto le'iser, you are not allowed to ruin, let's say, to be mevatel it mehechano. Why? So the Prima Gadim says, because right now you have some usages for it. Masha'enkin, if you put it under, you're going to ruin it. Meaning, it is mutter. Right, to make muksa A more muksa, so that's not a problem. It's already muksa. I already can't use it. So somehow if I make a muksa item more muksa on Shabbos, that's not a problem, because it's already muksed. But a klisha malachto le'iser, says the Prima Gadim, you have some usages. So therefore he says, after mitchilo haya gamkin alek sas shem muksa, beautiful lashon. Even though before it was a little muksa, kayak sas shem muksa on it, afal pikein aser lahamida lekabel shemen hanotev. Dimitri lahaisa hakli mutter latatula al kalpanim l'tzorach makoma v'yachshav aser lagamrei. And now it's aser. So that's an important Prima Gadim for Lamdis and for Lamaisa. That kli shematul iser is also included in the iser of mevato kli mehechano. That is right here in Simen Reish Samachay in the Bir Halacha. Even if Tzara Guf, okay, it's a little bit Tzara Gufo type, because you need it for, what does Gufo mean? Does it mean for you, or does it mean for using it in a mutter way? So here, this wouldn't be called in a mutter way, because you're ruining it. Okay, one other ha'ara, I just forgot to mention on top, and that is, we said, actually, you know what, we'll get to this again in the, when the Gemara quotes the Braisa again. So let's continue. So that's Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, second shot of Rav Chisda, you can't be mevatel kli. And that's why, I didn't explain it, that's why you can put the bowl on top of the egg, because you can just remove it whenever you want. But you can't put the bowl under the egg, because that's making it muksa mevatel kli mechano. So Esve, so now we're going to ask a couple of questions. Esve Abaya, the ones we had before, says the Tosefta, Chavis shel tevel shenishbara, if you have a barrel of tevel that broke, maybe kli acher meniach tachtel. You can bring a bowl and catch it. So same kasha. Isn't that mevatel kli meichano? Right before, and we answered, oh, it's mitsuya. But here we have the same question as before. It's kasha on Rav Yosef, right? You're being mevatel. Amar le, great answer. Tevel, muchan hu etzel Shabbos. Tevel is considered Mucha, tevel's not called muksa. Why? You can't eat it. She'im avar v'tikno misukan. No. Because let's say you violated the Isser Durabanan of taking off Chumas and Maisos on Shabbos. If you did that, then you'd be able to eat the tevel. You violated the Isser, but it's not like mitzvah bab avera, where the label of the avera lingers in the item, like matzah gzula. The Yerushalmi says, you're not yotzi with stolen matzah on Pesach. Because there it's labeled. Here, if you're a mafresh, so then, you know, you did something wrong. Okay. But because if you did that, you'd be able to eat it, so it's not fully muksa. But usually by a muksa item, there's nothing to do about it. It's muksa. You can't unmuksa it. But here, you can. And that's why it's not really muksa. Okay, there's a lot to talk about on this line. Let's get started. So the Rashba's Lashon is that this shows me, just to say, he doesn't get into the lundus, he says, the fact that you could do something and unmuksa it, so that shows kalish isure, that it is a weaker type of isser. But the problem starts with Tosis a little bit, but we'll go in the Ritva. The Ritva is really from the Ramban, but I brought it from the Ritva. Says the Ramban, why is this different than any muksa machmas isser? Tevel is, again, muchan, because in Avar v'signa mesukan, there are many examples of muksa machmas isser. So we say, if you can violate, it won't be muksa. What if you have a candle? So if I put out the candle, I'll be able to use the candle, so should it be muksa? No, that's the whole principle of muksa machmas isser. That comes up, we're going to have it on tomorrow's daf. You have to violate an isser in order to use this muksa. So why isn't that the same thing here by tevel? And if you want to say, oh, because there's only an Isser Darabana to violate, but all your Muksa Machmas Issers out there is Asa Daraisa, no. There are many examples of Isser Darabanans, Muksa Machmas Isser. Sha'asru Lagbiya, Trumas Ramaisas, Lo Chasha Muksa Gamer, no. V'agabi Mita, we're going to have a tomorrow's daf. If you left money on a bed, a Bein HaShmash, this is going to be Muksa. I taken off the money, it's just an Isser Darabanan. So Muksa Machmas Gufo, that's on a Darabanan level, right? But you see, it's still Muksa Machmas Isser. V'chein Gabi Ner HaDolek. If you have a Ner that's Dolek, putting it out might be a Darabanan, because you don't want it out, you just want to, right? M'lachash Yisrich LaGufo, as we discussed yesterday. There are many examples that even though it would be only us a Darabanan to un-Muksamize my item, to make it Mukhan, if you really want the proper way to talk. So that's still Muksa. So what is the Gemara talking about? Tevel, because you can violate an Isser, so says the Ritva, quoting the Ramban, his grand rabbi, the Yesh Lomar, no, you don't understand. And he talks like a brisker. Shiny Tevel, She'ein Isuro, Machmas Shabbos, V'gam Eino Mechusser Shum Malacha Latikun Gufo, Kihu Ba'atzmo Ro'i La'achila, V'ein Isuro Ela Mibnei Shem Tevel, V'af B'chol Haya Aser, Ella, Shabbos Goreim Shelo Lasakno Lefisha Aser LaAser B'Shabbos VaArye Hu DeRav Yela. There's nothing inherently wrong with Tevel, says the Ritva. He seems to be focusing on what we would call an Isser Gavra, more than an Isser Chefsa. There's an Isser for you to do something, but there's nothing wrong with the item. The item's perfect. You have to take off some of it in order to make the rest of it edible to you, Lamaisa. But literally, it's a lion that's crouched on it. That's a lushan that's used to say there's something inherently problematic with it. It's just, there's a problem that you have to remove. Once you remove the problem, then memela, the item that was covered up, is okay. The kivash, so that's what it means here. You're right, it's an avera. But it's an avera, it's an isser gavra. That you have an isser to eat it. He calls the tevel an isser gavra. Masha enkein, the other isurim, no. The light is burning. This is an isser, what we would call this, the item is off limits. It's not just covered up. That's his lamdus that he says. And therefore, by this type of isser, you don't say migu des katsoi, the chul. Good, that is number one. But then he adds in, and this is what Tosis also adds, so why is this different than, we say you put the bowl under the egg, you could just take out the egg. Why is tevel different? We say, oh, the bowl. But the bowl is inherently problematic. Just like we said, you could be mafresh and then the tevel is going to be good. So just remove the egg and the bowl would be good. What's the difference? Why is that a problem? What's the problem? That's the choice I'm about to claim. See, he quotes, and Tav Tosfos also says this. But I'll just read it here. It says it's open already. By the egg case, you got to remove the egg. That's a direct avera. Here, Is it direct? You're not doing anything with the leftover tevel that's going to be left over. You're just removing trumas and maizrus. Or, he says, you could even do it b'machshava. You could even think about it and be mafrish b'machshava, as the Gemara says elsewhere. So therefore, says the Ritva, again, the Rishonim are struggling here, but they're coming up with big chidushim. Why is tevel different than all other muksa machmas iser? That is number one. Okay, there's more. Let's just continue a little more, and then we'll come back. There's an important ksos on this Gemara, but we'll continue. Get a little further, and then Bez Hashem will come back. Says the Gemara now continuing. Remember, we're within number two, Rav Yosef, who says the reason for Rav Chisda is Mevata Kli Meichanu. Says that we're quoting all the brises that we quoted before. Nosin Kli Tachas and Erlekabli Nisotos. The brise we said, you're allowed to put a Kli under a candle to catch the sparks. Isn't that a bitul Kli? No. Amar Finna Bredi of Yeshua, Nisotos Ein Bohen Mamish. No, they're not tangible. They disappear in a second. So you're not being mevatelit. Next, you're allowed to move the board. If the board breaks, you're allowed to move a bench to support it. So isn't that mevatel kli? De rafi, it's loose. De boy shakole, and you'll be able to pull it out if you need. It's just there for security. Notice the kli tachas adlaf b'shabbos. What about putting a kli under something dripping? But adlaf ha-ra'ui. It's the laugh that is Roy. Roy to do what? Rashi says to drink. Roy, the Rambam, when he quotes it, he says to wash. Interesting whether there's a machlokas there. Machlokas Rashi Rambam. Next, Kopanasas Alephneya, Prochim, Shealva Yerdu, Anutos Efta. I'm allowed to put a basket in front of little chicks for chicks to go up and down on it. So isn't that Mavatal Kli? When the chicks are on it, it smokes up. Ksavra, Mutalatalto. The answer is no. We all, it's Mutter. That's not us, sir. Once the chick goes off of it, it's mutter. No problem. I wasn't at Bein HaShmashes where it's determined. So it's mutter l'taltalo. After the chicks go off. V'yatanya asa l'taltalo. But it says asa in the Tosefta. Ba'odin alav. That's only while the chicks are still on it. That's when it is asa to move. But right after the chicks go off of it, no problem. Tosva says this Gemara is assuming flat out the sugya in Maseches Beitza, whether there's a concept of muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. We're going to learn in a minute, in the next line of the Gemara, that once something is muksa at, you know what, let's just do the next line and then I'll talk. V'hatanya, alabi she'en odon alav asr. Another brisa says, even if it's not on it anymore, it's still asr. Amrebi avau, b'odon alav kol ben hashmashos. That's only if it's on it the entire ben hashmashos of Friday night. Why? Migud is katsoy leben hashmashos is katsoy lekula yoma. Period. Since it was set aside during ben hashmashos, it was set aside the entire day. Period. Meaning what? When is something muksa? How is something muksa? So, for sure, if something is muksa the entire ben hashmashos, that's the determining time for all of Shabbos. So if something is muksa at twilight, even if the reason for that muksa is removed during Shabbos, it doesn't matter. The item is still muksa. That's the principle of migud is katsoy. What is, that's deeper, kulei alma. There's a machlokas, a maseches beitza, which Tosas quotes in Dibur Maschil ba'odan. Tosas goes, what happens if something becomes muksa on Shabbos? You're not allowed to make it muksa. But if it becomes muksa on Shabbos, and then it becomes unmuksed, does it go back to its previous non-muksa state? Or do you say, once it became muksa on Shabbos, you're finished? What's called yesh muksa lachatzi Shabbos. Once it becomes muksa, it's muksa for the rest of Shabbos. Or do I say, no, ein muksa lachatzi Shabbos. If it became muksa, okay, it's muksa. But then if the reason disappeared, then it's not muksa. That's this case. You have a chick that went up onto a kli. At this moment, it's muksa. Because now it's a bustle stuff or usser. And then the chick goes off on muksa. So Tosfos says, our Gemara is assuming explicitly, ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, because we're assuming, right, when the chick goes off of it, then you're allowed to do it. And Tosfos is bothered, you know, why doesn't that Gemara over there quote our Gemara as a raya of ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos? Seems to be a favor that this mandamar is holding it. So that is the question of Tosfos. The Gemara over there is discussing, you have dates or figs that you put out on your roof, and when you Shabbos started, they were edible. They were moist, they were edible. On Shabbos, they start putrefying, and they become disgusting. And then a couple hours later, they become dried out, and they're edible again. So the Gemara there talks about, are you allowed to eat those figs? When Shabbos started, they were edible. Now they're edible. In the middle, they were inedible. So that's the case there. So muksa l'chatzi Shabbos or not? So Tosfos says it's a little difficult because our Gemara assumes ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. So different chidushim are given. Tosfos on the fifth wide line says maybe there's a difference between muksa l'chatzi Shabbos for eating and muksa l'chatzi Shabbos for moving. Our Gemara says Ein Muksa Lachati Shabbos. That's regarding Tiltul. The Gemara over there, where there's a machlokes, that's regarding eating. That's a very important line. We're going to have to talk about that at different times in the Masechta. Are there different halachas for muksa regarding moving it? We already spoke about touching it versus moving it. What about moving it versus eating it? Could something be mutter to move, but also to eat? Tosa says right here. Right? Even if you say Ein muksa l'chazi Shabbos, that just means you're allowed to move it, not that you're allowed to eat it. That's one answer. The Meiri over there in Beitza says, I'll tell you another difference. Here, we're not talking about moving the actual muksa item that had been muksa. We're talking about the bowl that the chick was on and then went off. That's where we might hold Ein muksa l'chazi Shabbos. Because we're not talking about moving the actual item that was muksa, and that was inherently. It was a basis for the chick. So maybe, when does there a machlokas about yesh or ein muksa l'chazi Shabbos? That's only about the item itself. Like the example that I gave, the figs that got dried out, that became disgusting, that are good now. Here, we're talking about a basis. You're not moving the actual muksa item. So that's where we might hold ein muksa l'chazi Shabbos. But that's two days. Tosas right here, and Meiri over there in Beitza on Daf Chavav. So that is that. Good. So we had Migu Diskatsoi. One other point, and then we'll continue. So the Gemara says, if you look closely at the Lashon of the Gemara, it says, Ba'odin alav kol bein hashmashos. The entire bein hashmashos. Means it has to be there, not just part of it, but the entire bein hashmashos. It's a little difficult. The Ramah. There's a Ramah in Simin, Taf, Reish, Lamed, Ches, that discusses about, maybe it's talking about sukkah decorations. When the sukkah decorations become usher. See, he says, maybe it's sounds like only a little bit of Bein HaShemashos. Okay, you can look there. Tafrei Shalom Chesiv base in the Ramah. Okay, though, we continue down now. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So we already have the two different pshatim of Rav Chisda. So now we get to the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kishem She'inosan Kli Tachas Tarnagolas. L'kabo Beitzasa. Rabbi Yitzchak says, just like you can't catch the egg, Kachin Kofin Ala Kli B'shol Shalot Yishaver. You cannot put the egg on top of it and over it. Meaning, he argues with Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yitzchak says, you can't. Ksavar, why? Ein kli nital, ela ledavar hanital b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to move a non-muksa item, l'shem a muksa item on Shabbos, for the good of a muksa item. Right, that's the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Meisve kol ani tiyufta. Aye, what about all these tiyuftas, all these cases that we just said? Putting the bowl under the drip, and this, and catching the tevel. All these are moving it l'shem the muksa item. Vishani, he would answer, b'tzarech limkomo. You know what all these cases are? Where you already had the bowl in your hand. You picked it up for a mutter purpose. So once it's in your hand, then you're allowed to put it down wherever you want. That's what it is. B'tzarech limkomo. This we already discussed. We already discussed the Ramah. In Simon Reish Samach Vav Sifyud Beis. If you have your wallet in your pocket on Shabbos, do you have to drop it? Not in the street, in your house. Do you have to drop it wherever you are? Stop? Or do we say, once it's in your hand, you can go put it into your bedroom? So the Ramah seems to say that you're allowed to take it. You're allowed to take it where, once it's in your hand, you're allowed to take it wherever you want. And the Vilna Gaon there, we discussed this back on Daf Lamed Daled. Lamed Daled, remember we discussed the guy who blew the shofar, the Baal Tokeya? Does he have to drop it right away, or can he take it home? That's what we discussed this. So the Vilna Gaon says there in Reish Samach Vav, he says no. He says that maybe the only reason, Yoradei Reish Pei Vav, the only reason that you're allowed to keep going is if you picked it up a heter. Not al beheter, that's where you're allowed to continue. Like our Gemara. Our Gemara is you picked it up a heter, you can take whatever you want. What was the Ramah's case? You realize you have mukse in your pocket? That's not al beiser. You have to drop it right away, says the Vilna Gaon. So that's the Gruz Chilak. The Ramah says, once it's in your hand, take it wherever you want. The Vilna Gaon says, no, look at all the cases that we have. That's, you're only allowed to take it, continue, like the Gruz quotes our Gemara. Right? Only if it was not al beheter, then you could take it wherever you want. Where else does this come up? Fascinating application. The Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya, Reish Pei Vav. What's in Reish Pei Vav in Yeridaya? What does that have to do with Muksa? Hilchos Mila. Hilchos Mila. The knife that a Moel uses is considered Muksa Machmas Chesron Kis. It's a very special type of blade that he uses. So what does the Moel do in Reish Pei Vav? I'm sorry, Reish Samach Vav, not Reish Pei Vav, it's Hilchos Mezuzah. Reish Samach Vav in Sif Yud Beis. The Ramah says right here, Sif Yud Beis, or the, let me just find it, Reish Samach Vav, if I can't find it right now, so then I'm going to say it out. I thought it was a Reish Samach Vav. Here's it somewhere here. Right, so it's Umutar letaltel hoizemel wa'achar hamila. Beis, not yud beis. Umutar letaltel hoizemel wa'achar hamila. You're allowed to move, you're allowed to hold the knife in your hand. La'achar hamila. La'hatsnio b'chatzar ha'mu'urav. Avagav de'ino tzorech lo'od ba'osa Shabbos. T'holo huksa ben ashmashos. Me'achar shayet tzorech lo ba'osa Shabbos. Kein nira li. That's the Ramah. That the mole doesn't have to drop it. And Muksa Feriyat, he could go, he could take it wherever he wants. That is the Ramah. If you look in the Vilna Gaon right here, Kamasha Kasav, a pair of Gimel, the Muksa, in Muksa Lachati Shabbos, Ava Maharil Kasav, to Miyad Achra Mila Yizrok or Izemo Miyado. You gotta drop it. He says there. And then he talks about Klishmatel Isser, Tafka Klishmatel Isser, maybe, number one, the Gra actually has two arguments on the Ramah in general. Number one is that only if you picked up a heter. Number two, he says maybe it only applies to Klishmatel Isser and not to more serious moksas like Chesron Kiss, which is the Mila knife, right? The Mila knife, you have Tiltal Beheter. But the problem is, you also have, it's Chesron Kiss. Those are the two arguments that the Vilna Gaon has. You have to put this Gra along with the Gra on Hilchos Shabbos. Both of them have to be read in light of each other to get the full picture. Okay, that's an area where, interestingly, it comes up. We continue though now. Says the Gemara, Tashma, again, trying to bring a Kasha under Bitzchak. Achas beis shenol de b'Shabbos veichas achas beis shenol de b'Yantiv. Whether an egg that was laid on Shabbos or Yantiv, ein metaltelin, you can't move the egg. Lo lachasos b'asakli ulisbok b'kari amita. You can't use the egg for a cork in your bottle or to put under a bed in order to, if your bed is leaning. Aval kofel akli b'shvil shloti shaver. Be allowed to put a bowl over it. I kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak. Right, that's also talking about you already had it in your hand. Tashma, person machsalos al gabi avanim b'shabes, you're allowed to spread out a mat to cover up rocks, stones that you want to protect on Shabbos. So again, that's moving something with sarat avra muksa. No, but avanim mikurzalos. We're talking about stones that have a sharp tip that they used to use to clean themselves after the bathroom. Dechazim lebesakise. So that's right, that's not muksa. Those stones are basically their toilet, the Talmudic toilet paper, right, of these sharp stones. That's why it's not muksa. Tashma, person machsolos agavi levanim b'shabes. I, another brisa, you had to put a mat over bricks. Dishtayim mibinyana, we're talking about bricks that were left over from a construction site. Techazi lemizgalayo, that you're able to sit on. They're not going to use them for construction. So you're able to sit on them, so again, it's not muksa. Tashma, person machsolos agavi kaveres dvarim b'shabes. You're allowed to put a mat over a beehive on Shabbos, which has honey in it, pashtus to protect it from the sun in the summer and to protect it from the rain in the winter. As long as they don't have kavana to trap the bees, we'll get back to that line. But what do you see from there again? The bees, the beehive is muksa, and you're allowed to cover it with a reed mat. With a mat. No, there's honey in there. So that's the, so it's like a basas of rasa of ramutter. So there's honey in there. So that's why you're allowed to, that's how you could view it. You're covering the bee up for the honey. So it's not moving something with sarech muksa. Amalei rav ukva mimeshal rav ashi, tenach bimosacham. But that's fine in the summer months, diika dvash. Any biologists, right? Only, there's only honey in the beehives in the summer. Bimosag shamim, deleka dvash maikal omemar. But in the rainy season, there's no dvash in there. And it says, you're allowed to do bikshamim and b'reakshamim. So lo nitzrcha elo lo osan shtei chalos. No, the two honeycombs inside that has honey in it, and that has some honey on it, and those are there even during the winter. So that's why that's what you can view that you're covering. Right? Rashi quotes when that's what supports the bees the entire winter. So that's why you're covering it. So the Gemara says v'hamuksas dino. Those are muksa. Okay, doesn't help me. Those are muksa, so we're still back to the kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak. No, to chashiv alayhu. No, you were planning to eat it. You thought about it before Shabbos that you're going to eat it. So halo chashiv alayhu mai, aser. What? So if you didn't think about it, it's aser? So why didn't the brisa say that? So ihachi, hadetani yubavachli iskavin latsud. So why, instead of bringing in a new factor in the brisa, but just make sure you don't have kavana to catch the bees, liflo velisnibidida. Why don't you make a distinction within the Bryce's case itself. Bamed, Ramamurim, when are you allowed to do this? When you thought about eating these honeycombs before Shabbos. Avalochi Shivalayan Asr. But if you didn't think about them, Asr. So why didn't you mention that in the Bryce? So the Gemara says, no, hakamash malan. No, there's an added chiddush by saying that say the line. Afal pisha chishev alehan. No, even if you did think about eating them, still, ubevachli is kavan latsud. You have to make sure not to have kavana to do tzeda, to trap the beast. A little more. Mani, one second. Who was the author of this brisa? Obviously, this is a brisa that has the issue of muksa, because it has to be one that you had kavana beforehand. So, e Reb Shimon, lest they muksa. Can't be Reb Shimon's opinion, because as we said, Reb Shimon doesn't hold of most muksas. E Reb Yehuda, kilo miskavin mayavi. If it's Reb Yehuda, then you have the other problem. What, as long as you don't have kavana to trap, what does Reb Yehuda hold by Darvashena miskavin? Ha Darvashena miskavin asur. So you have a muksa machlokas, and you have a Darvashena miskavin machlokas. So if you want to say it's Reb Yehuda shita about muksa, so Darvashena miskavin should be asur. So Gemara says, La'olam Rebbe Yehuda. Really, it's Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. Umay ubilvad sholi yiskaven latsud. Aye, what does it mean, as long as you don't have kavana to trap? Shalo ya'asena kimitsuda. What it means to say is, don't put it on so that it is trapping. Meaning, delishbuk l'urafcha, leave a little space, ke'echado litzadu memela, leave a little space so that the animals, the bees, are not trapped inside. It doesn't mean don't have kavana. It just means don't trap. Period. Two more lines and then we'll make a comment. Rav Ashi has a totally different shot of the price. No! Different shot. What was our problem? There's no honey in the rain season? So we don't mean that. There is no rain season. Miktani biyamosa chama ubiyamosa gshamim. Bechama mipnei achama ubikshamim mipnei akshamimtani. It says the rain and the sun. That's talking about a season with us both. Biyome nisan biyome tishrei tika chama vika gshamim vika dvash. We're only talking about times of year that there's honey in there. You're right, says Rav Ashi. If it's a time of year where there's no honey, Rabbi Yitzchak would say it's aser. Because ein kli nital el tzarach davar hanital. Period. I saw an amazing chiddush yesterday. I'm very excited about that. I don't think I ever mentioned before, and that is from Rav Shimon Shkop. The issue of tzeda. Right here, it sounds like you have to leave a little space. Tzeda, though, I think we mentioned this yesterday, 2 days ago. The issue of the taz and the tour about closing a box. If there are some bugs in it, do I have to make sure to check that there are no bugs in there? What was called psik resha lisha avar. So the taz was makel. If you remember, to be kiveger based on the Raman in Yerodea was machmir. So that's one case of tzeda. There's another case of tzeda. We'll get to later on, Be'ez Hashem, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Vav Mabez. Well, there's a major machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran. The Mishnah seems to say that if you have a deer that walked into your house on Shabbos, somehow, a deer walked into your house, and you want to go take a Shabbos walk, you're allowed to close the door, as long as you don't have kavanah to do tzeda. Asks the Ran, what are you talking about? That's psik resha. I don't understand. Right? And the Rashba says, no, because theoretically, closing the door doesn't always entail trapping deer, so it's not called a psik resha. The big chiddush, which we'll talk about later on Daf Kuvav. But says of Shimon Shkop, unbelievable. This is in Ksubis, in Simon Dalid. We have that case of Seda, and then we have our case about the little bugs. Says of Shimon Shkop, psik resha doesn't apply to Seda. Part of the definition of tzeda is having kavana latsud. We have this by a couple of malachas. Very few of them, by a couple of them. Because after all, and we could quote what we quoted back on Daf Beis, tzeda is kind of like a malacha gerua. Remember we said hotza is a malacha gerua? Tosa said that? Because you're not changing anything. You just moved it. So, excuse me, by the animal. You didn't change the animal. It's free and now it's caught. And you didn't do anything really. It's the same. Right, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan, in the beginning of Shin Tezayin, quotes that Seda is like an inferior type of malacha, because you're not really changing anything. You're not cleaning or plowing or you're just moving something into a different state. Like the Rishonim say, by Hotzah being malacha gerua. So related to that, says Rav Shimon Shkop, unless you have kavana to do this malacha, it's not called the malacha. Even if it's psik resha. That's the chiddush over there of the Mishnah, and that's the discussion of the Taz here. It's specifically a tzeda issue. That's why he might be more mako by tzeda. He said, at least according to some Rishonim, this is the pshat. Not everybody, but at least according to some Rishonim. The Gemara here ends up saying that there isn't, sounds like according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it doesn't take it. It's Dover Shein Miskavin. We're not talking about Psikresha here. We're saying even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Dover Shein Miskavin is Usur, so you got to come up with a case that it's not even Dover Shein Miskavin. But Rav Shimon Shkop is saying, if it was Psikresha, so then Psikresha would not be a problem. That's the beautiful Chiddush of Rav Shimon Shkop. right here in Ksubis in Simen Dalet. Da Rashba Machalik be Melacha Sedo Lishar Malachos. The Melachas Choresh Hamalacha Yimasha Nasa Choresh Bakarka. Choresh in most other Malachas is about the results, but Melacha Sedo. Eina malacha masha atzvi nishmar. There ain't loss of shum shinui bahatzvi. Elo hamaisa sheose sheyehei nitzod. Zel malacha seda. Umishem hachi kshasa hani'ilas delas bishul mataracheres. Gamkein oz ein hani'ila maisa seda. And he compares it to something we discussed back on Daf Chavtes. Kilayim, shatnez. The Mishnah seems to say if I wear shatnez just to sell an item, to model it, not to keep me warm, that's also not psik resha. Why not? Because there too, it could be part of the Isra of Kilayim is the kavana for the hana'as levisha. Right? So he compares it to that case. Okay, beautiful. Let's continue a little more. That's a Rav Shimon to get excited about. Amar lehu Rav Sheshes, a little bit more. Puku v'imru lelu Rav Yitzchak. Rav Sheshes says to his Talmidim, go tell Rav Yitzchak, right, who said this chiddush that you can't move kalim with tzarech amoksaidim? Kvar tirgam Rav Huna lishmaytzech baBavel. Rav Huna already explained your shita in Bavel. Tamar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said as follows: Osin mechitzal meis bishvil chai, vein osin mechitzal meis bishvil meis. You're allowed to make a mechitza for a corpse as long as you really made it for a live person, but you can't make a mechitza for a meis. Meaning what? A meis, a corpse is muksa. Right, we had David HaMelech, he died, Taflamid. Right, we had his muksa. So if you want to protect the mace, you want to put up a wall so that he's not in the sun, so you're not allowed to do that unless you really did it for a live person. What does that mean? Mahi, this is going like a mitzvah. Domer, Shobar Yehuda, Vachin, Tana, Shila, Mari, Mace, Amuta, Bachama. So what do? You have a mace that's in the sun. Boim, Shnei, B'nei, Adam, V'yoshem, Mitzido. Get two people to sit down next to the mace. Cham, Lohem, Milamata. And it's going to be very hot for them. They're going to be in the sun. So, Zemevi, Mita, V'yoshem, Aleha, Zemevi, Mita, V'yoshem, Aleha. This is what you do. They'll each bring a bed or a chair to sit on next to the mace so it's not so hot for them. They're sitting on the ground. It's boiling hot. So at least bring a bed to sit on. Wonderful. But they'll still be hot on their heads. So what do? Then you'll bring a sheet, and they'll hold it up on top of them because they're protecting themselves from the sun. Once you have this, so then, quickly, once it's already an OL for themselves, pick up the beds and then support this new mechitza that you made with the beds, and then they can leave. So that's the trick that you could use because they really made the mechitza for themselves. Memeil it'll be there for the mace. The nimtzeis mechitza asu yemeil lehap. So the mechitza ends up being made by itself. Good. Rashi points out that you have to do it in this way. First make the top, the mechitza, and then bring the wall, so to speak. Because otherwise, it would be an iser of ohel arai on Shabbos. We'll learn about that later in the Masechta when we talk about, kids who like to make tents on Shabbos. Oh, all right, the couch and the blankets. So the halacha is, and Rashi quotes it here, you got to make the roof, it's a drabanan, it's an olarai, but the chachamim war goes there on olarai if you make it in the normal way. Usually you build walls and then you build a roof. But if you build a roof first and then you build the walls, that's okay, because it's a drabanan, they weren't gozer in that unusual case. So here, that's what happened here, Rashi says. They have these, they're holding up this sheet, which is like a roof, and then they're going to bring the walls. That's why it's fine. So, but the other way would be an Isser de Rabbanan. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Beth Hashem by Itmar, and Beth Hashem, I hope Beth Hashem sometime today to get up tomorrow's daf, and again, Mem Hei is already up. Okay, we'll stop here.